Good morning, friends. Welcome to the program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. If you have some money nearby, get that out. If you have some coins or some dollar bills, in just a moment we're going to use your money as a illustration to begin our Bible study this morning. And if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. On one occasion in Jesus' preaching ministry, during his last week before going to the cross, he was approached by some Jewish leaders, and he was asked if he would obey Caesar or not. And Jesus encouraged them to pull out a coin and look at the image on that coin and the inscription, and he used that as a sermon. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 15, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth and carest not for any one, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus, perceiving their wickedness, and said, Why make ye trial of me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. This is the denarius. And they brought him unto him a denarius. And he saith unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went away. They thought they had Jesus trapped. They knew that Jesus claimed to be a follower of God, and so they thought that he would say, follow God and not Caesar. And yet he says, follow both. Give those things to Caesar that belong to him. There are matters in life where we need to obey civil authorities and pay our taxes. But then there are things in life of a religious nature where we need to worship God. There's a lot of people today who will render unto Caesar, but not unto God. They're very law-abiding in many ways, but they will not come and worship God. They won't read their Bible. They won't pray. It's not either or, it's both. And Jesus used a coin in verse 20. Whose is the image and the superscription? In other words, get a denarius out and who do you see there and what is the wording? There was an image on the front of the coin. It was the head of Tiberius Caesar with a laurel wreath around his head. The Romans held him in high honor and they considered him a triumph. And a conquering commander in Caesar would wear a laurel wreath. This coin honors Caesar's authority as a conqueror. And then Jesus said, what is the superscription? In other words, what is inscribed on it? What are the words? And there were some words inscribed in Latin, translated into English, would be roughly Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. And then he himself is called Augustus. The inscription called Tiberius, the son of a god. Augustus means majestic, honored. And so Tiberius, the stepson and later adopted son of the divine Caesar Augustus, or as the Romans called them, divine, this man is also claimed as a divine person and passed down to Tiberius. Do you have your money out? Our American currency has a sermon in it, just like Jesus had a sermon in that denarius. If you look at your coins, there are four English words. If you turn on the back of your bills, your dollar bills, there are four words there. What are those four words that have significance for us today? Is there a sermon in our currency? I believe there is. Those words are, in God we trust. You ever thought about how those words got on our money? And I wonder why with the world that we live in today, where many are against God in the United States, why we still have that on our money. I'm glad we do, and I hope that we will continue to display that, but I question the reality and sincerity of those words printed on our money. Back in the Civil War, it was first suggested that we print "In God We Trust" on our money. It first appeared on the 1864 2-cent coin. Almost 100 years later, it appeared on the $1 silver certificate in 1957. At the time in 1861, Secretary Chase instructed James Pollock, director of the Mint at Philadelphia, to prepare a motto in a letter dated November the 20th, 1861. He writes, "Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God." Remember, this is at the beginning of the Civil War. "No nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. You will cause a device to be prepared without unnecessary delay, with a motto expressing in the fewest and tersest words possible this national recognition." And what was decided upon was, "In God we trust." And so from that time till this day, we have that printed on our money. But I ask the question, friends, this morning, does America really trust in God? When you look at what goes on in the daily newspaper, when you look at what goes on in our society, you find that many, maybe most, maybe the majority, are not trusting in God. Consider our school shootings. Consider the recent mass shooting in Las Vegas a few weeks ago. Consider our school shootings back in the 1990s. It was almost one right after another: Pearl, Mississippi; Springfield, Oregon; Columbine, Colorado. And then college campuses, Virginia Tech in 2007. And there have been many more. Guns themselves do not kill. It's the evil and wicked individuals who are using those guns improperly. People who do not trust in God. And it's not just our school shootings. Consider even the lawmakers in our nation. Consider the laws that are coming down from our Supreme Court. Consider the laws that are coming down by various legislative bodies, national, statewide, local. We have laws protecting those who want to get an abortion and kill the unborn child in the mother's womb. Approximately 4,400 a day are aborted in this country alone, not to mention around the world. And our law upholds that. Murdered, killed. 4,400 every day. Same-sex or homosexual marriage in many states, and more states are legalizing same-sex marriage, what God's Word calls an abomination, and homosexuality. It's a sin. And yet we're legalizing it. Various gays and lesbians are being allowed to be members in denominations, religious denominations. It's not just civil law, but religious law. In some of the mainline denominations, such as the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Episcopalians, these religious laws are being made to uphold gays and lesbians. Birth control is distributed in some school districts so that people can have sexual intercourse outside of a God-given marriage and what God calls fornication and sexual immorality. We're encouraging that. Prayer is removed from some schools. The Ten Commandments have been removed from some places. And we wonder why our nation is going down the slippery slope of sin. Pornography is everywhere. including the internet, profanity rights. People take God's name in vain and all kinds of cussing and profanity, and because of the so-called freedom of speech that's upheld on our airwaves, and there are radio talk show hosts and others who have a very foul mouth, murderers are let off easy in our court system due to the so-called insanity plea. I agree that these individuals are insane in the sense that their sanity, their mind is not following the Word of God. They're not thinking. They're using worldly wisdom instead of God's wisdom. And we could go on and on and on. In this town of ours, we have those who do things that are very immoral in Clarksville. Why? They don't trust God and His Word. We have it on our money. It's in our hands all the time. And yet, it's just four empty words. Friends, I want us to consider this morning the importance of trusting in God. Where should these words appear? In God we trust. I'm glad that they are on our money. I hope that they continue to be there. But that's not where God wants those words in reality. He wants them in other places where it will change our lives. Let me give you a few examples. God wants those words on our mind, not so much on our money. In Matthew chapter 22, in the very same chapter that we started with earlier, Jesus says later in the chapter, when he was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment." Loving God with our heart, soul, and mind. Turning to His Word to follow what we need to have in our lives today. To direct how we are to live and to how we are to think. Needs to be on our mind, not our money. God wants these words in our heart. In Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus deals with those religious leaders of His day who were hypocritical, He says, "This people honoreth Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. But in vain do they worship Me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." A lot of people with their lips give praise to God, but their heart is far from Him. They mention God. They acknowledge God. And from our president down and others, a lot of times individuals giving speeches will say, "God bless America. God bless the United States." And we certainly want God to do that, but we have to follow His Word and His will if we want God to bless us. He's not going to bless us if we live despite what He says. If we reject and ignore and turn against what He says, He's not going to just continue to bless us. Blessings come from God when we live according to His Word and will. And we can't just simply have some catchphrases that we spout off with our lips. Jesus said, "This people honoreth Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me," and their heart is what is guiding their lives. We say all day long, "God bless America, and God bless the United States," and it just rolls off the lips so quickly. And yet, people saying this have a heart that is far from serving God. I want these words, "In God we trust," to be more than just simply something printed on money. I want to encourage us, friends, to have it on our minds and on our hearts. And God wants these words printed in our obedience. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" It's easy to say, "In God we trust." It's easy to say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But are we showing it in our daily service to Him? Are we showing it in coming to worship Him on the first day of the week on Sundays? when he instituted through his apostles the day, the first day of the week, to come together to worship him. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Or is it just words we say and words printed on our money? Or do we actually get up on Sunday and come and obey him? In God we trust. Have these words become meaningless words of a bygone religious era? Is that what is happening? There was a time in 1861 where individuals during the Civil War were directing their minds toward God and they wanted it printed on their money, but over 100 years later, we're not interested in God. We've got our own lives to live. What does it mean to trust in God? Let me share with you this morning, friends, a few things. If you still have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. What does it mean to trust in God? Well, first of all, it means to trust that God is, that he does exist. There is evidence of him everywhere in the universe. If we're to be saved, we must have a faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. We must believe that he is. Earlier in the same book, in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews says that every house is built by someone, and he that built all things is God. We go down the road and we see homes that are built. We don't assume that they just accidentally got there. We assume that somebody built that. And so when we look at the grandeur and the glory of the universe around us, we need to be thinking the same thing. Hebrews chapter 3, I may have said verse 6 earlier, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, excuse me. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. Hebrews 3 verse 4. We would not assume that a house accidentally evolved over time. So why do we look at our grand and glorious universe and the intricacy of the universe and the human body and the animal kingdom? Why do we look at that and say, well, it just evolved over time? No, he that built all things is God, just like someone built a house. And so when we say in God we trust, what we're saying is we trust that God is. And that he does exist, because there is evidence behind all of the design for a great designer. When we say, in God we trust, we are saying that we trust God's words are true. In John 17, in verse 17, Jesus said of his Father, "Thy word is truth." When we open up our Bibles, we understand that we're reading the very word of God. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture inspired of God. Literally, God breathed. The Bible is not full of fables and fantasies and fictions, but the true words of God. And those who wrote and declared those words worked miracles in order to demonstrate that they were speaking and writing the very words of God. Jesus and his apostles. In God we trust. Sometimes people say they believe in God and then they start tearing down the Bible. That there are some denominations out there that will stand up and give lip service to the Bible, but when you question them, they say that the Bible is full of man's word and problems and contradictions. If we say in God we trust, we believe that God is, we believe that God's words are true, and that we believe God's ways are best. And we're going to trust in the Lord and not lean upon our own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. We know that God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. And we're going to trust in those things. When you look at our society today, the problem is people are trusting in their own understanding. Well, I want to kill the baby that's in my body, so I have a right. I'm a man, I want to marry another man. I have a right. I'm a woman, I want to marry another woman. I have a right. We're just leaning on our own understanding, what we think and what we feel. And then sometimes people will do that and then turn right around and say, well, God loves me and God approves of this. And yet they give no evidence of that in His Word, the Bible. It's just a statement they make. In fact, God is disapproving of those relationships. But people are just leaning upon their own understanding. Reminds me of the very last verse of the book of Judges in the Old Testament. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's a very dark period in Israel's history. Everybody's just doing what they want. They're leaning on their own understanding, and it took Israel down a very ugly path. And it's doing the same with America. I want us to get back to trusting God. Do you? When we say in God we trust, what we're saying is that we trust God's well-being for our life. He's going to take care of us. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56, verse 4. In God I will praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can flesh do unto me? Psalm 56, come down to verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? God's going to take care of us. He will not leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. When we say, in God we trust that His way is best for us. And when we do that way and that will, and sometimes it brings us persecution and suffering and those types of things, we trust that God will take care of us along the way. What does it mean to say, in God we trust? It means that we believe that God's will prevail over all. God sits on a throne and He rules over the kingdoms of men. And man does what he wants, but God is still in control. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself also will come shortly." He was talking about God's providential will. We also trust that God will right all wrongs. We're currently studying in the book of Revelation at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We invite you to come on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for our study of Revelation, and also Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And one thing that we're learning as we go through the book of Revelation is that as those Christians were being persecuted in the first century, and some of them were even being killed for their faith, they're being told in the book of Revelation that God will right all of those wrongs. He will avenge their blood. In Revelation chapter 6, when the fifth seal is opened, John heard a voice crying out from around the throne, "How long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And there was given them to each one a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little time until their fellow servants also and their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. God is going to come and avenge them. He's going to judge those who did those ungodly acts against them. And there are many wrongs that are taking place in our society, especially when we see that people engage in all kinds of crimes and they get off scot-free, and all these individuals who are murdering innocent babies, one day all of that is going to be righted. All of those wrongs will be righted. And we trust God for that. That's why there's a coming judgment day, in part, to right all of the wrongs that have been done in humanity from the beginning of time until the end of time. Friends, in God we trust. Don't let it just be some empty words printed on our money, but actually carry that out in your life and in my life. We're not going to lean upon our own understanding and trust that. We're not going to trust what our friends and family say, even though they're nice. We're going to trust the one who made us. Will you do that? Will I do that? That's the encouragement today. We sing in our songbooks, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We trust God by getting up and obeying His words. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. We trust that God will reward the righteous. There is a coming judgment day. There's a heaven and there's a hell awaiting those. And when we obey the gospel, we have the hope of heaven. When we disobey, we have the promise of hell. And there's a trust there that God will carry through that reward and that punishment. What will you receive, friend, in the end? Why do we trust God? Well, it's in the nature of God to never lie. He always tells the truth, and He cannot lie. It is not in His nature to lie. The Apostle Paul writes in Titus chapter 1, with regard to the hope of heaven, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. It is not in His nature to lie. That's why everything He tells us in His Word, we can trust. He is, and His Word is the very Word of God recorded for us on the pages of Scripture. It's up to us now to trust it. Friends, our nation is clearly on the wrong path, and we see it all around us. In fact, you don't even have to be religious to understand the problems that we're facing in our nation. It's very clear with the shootings and other things that are going on. And we need to get back to trusting in God. There is a proverb that I would like for us to close with. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We will be exalted, we will be lifted up, but only based upon righteous principles. Righteousness in the Word of God is action based upon what God tells us to do. Right acts coming from right laws laid down in God's Word. And that will bring our nation up again. But sin is a reproach to any people. We've got to come back. Our lawmakers need to come back to God, and not just some lip service, but serious. Our president, ourselves, our local leaders, we have to come back. We have to start trusting in God again in a real and serious way. And when we do that, He will continue to bless us. If we don't, that blessing will not be there. We're glad that you joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We hope that this message was helpful to you. Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you'll tune in next week, and we hope that you'll have a good day.